Welcome to today's episode of Journey to There, exploring the intersection between personal and business growth. And now your hosts, Tracy DeForge and Russ Reba.
Tracy, you know I'm deep in the youth baseball community, and we've been on a little break between seasons, so we take that time to work out some other muscles for our growing kids. Now, with that, we play soccer. Now, here's your quiz for the day. Are you ready?
Oh, my God. You know I don't do sports.
Now, I know you're going to get it because you're S-M-A-R-T smart.
Okay, let's
You like how I work that in? All right.
Yeah, I did.
All right, in baseball, we don't score points. What do we score? You're not going to get this, are you?
Bases.
We score bases.
Well, you have to understand, Russ, that one time when I was at the University of Georgia football game, I looked over at my date and I said, "What inning is it?"
How am I not surprised? Okay, in baseball, now I know you're going to get this as we roll on here. In baseball, we score runs. All right, in soccer, we don't score points or runs. What do we score? Think about that. Along with Tracy DeForge, I'm Russ Reba. It steam's coming out of your ears right now. And we bring you the Journey to There radio show. It's the intersection between personal and business growth. Find us online at journeytothere.com. Also being heard by listeners on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Empower Radio, and so much more. Did you figure it out? What do we score in soccer?
Okay, so because I am indeed S-M-A-R-T, I would like to answer that question by saying G-O-A-L. I know the answer.
Yes,
we'll
put an S at the end. Goals. Goals. We score goals. Tracy, you are about to change the way that so many of our listeners set goals, change goals, see the difference between intentions and goals, and so much more. But you have to explain the S-M-A-R-T thing first.
Well, other than the fact that I'm smart and you're smart, and if you're listening, you're smart too for listening to us.
Except we don't score bases in baseball.
Okay, so I'm not smart about sports, but I know a lot about goal setting.
Yes,
and a
you
lot
do.
About redefining goal setting. And what I mean by that is there is a very traditional concept and philosophy and idea around the strategy of goal setting, right?
Uh-huh.
And as you know me, I like to do things the unconventional way.
The Tracy way.
The Tracy way. So I started giving goals a lot of thought recently because they've been coming up a lot in my client sessions. And it's just been fascinating because people have brought forth this very stereotypical, if you will, traditional, not in a negative way, but bringing forth their goal setting strategy to be very, let's just call it dry and not original.
Dry.
And so it's my job then, of course, to say, hey, what if we bust all that up and redefine goals? But in order to redefine them, I suppose I need to define them. Mm-hmm. And that is where the acronym SMART originated. So I've always been, even in school, I was taught S-M-A-R-T for goals.
Really?
Which is specific, measurable, assignable, realistic, and time-related. Now, there are definitely some variations on that,
yeah.
But this specific definition was the original definition that was written down in 1981 in Spokane, Washington, by George Doran.
Okay.
Did you know that?
I did not know that. And
well,
you said you had originally heard the SMART thing.
I have heard the SMART thing. I've actually, well, definitely in professional training in related to like business development, because a lot of times when you're in business development, sales, producing income for revenue, things like that, then you have to have goals set for you by your management that they then want you to attain. And
so I could see you in these when you were doing the general manager radio station thing. I could see you with the big whiteboard and putting the S-M-A-R-T up there. Was that you?
Well, I must confess that yes, I have used it before I became so wise in knowing.
I'm sorry.
And it's not, and let me clarify, it's not that goals are SMART. Goals are specific, measurable, assignable, realistic, and time related if you achieve them. And so there's nothing wrong with that path. It's just that, you know, George Doran, uh-huh. who wrote the paper on there's a smart way to write management's goals and objectives. I mean, come on. Like, do you want to read that? I don't want to read that.
I'm so glad I wasn't in those meetings with you. I was in the studio on the air.
Right. And so I don't think George and I would have gotten along. In fact, I think he would have stormed out of the room, actually. But what I really want to cover today is giving yourself permission. Actually, first and foremost, I have a couple of things I want to say that before you can even assign yourself a goal or even have a strategy around meeting or attaining a goal, there's one really, really, really important thing that you have to do first. And I'm going to say it, but I'm going to say it very clearly so you don't misunderstand it. Ready?
I'm ready.
Don't should yourself.
Don't should yourself.
Okay. Enough for the sophomore.
Don't should yourself.
Don't should yourself. If you should, then no. Okay. And the reason why I say stop laughing, and the reason why I get that smirk off your face.
You can't say stop laughing and then expect me to stop.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right, everybody. Please ignore the sophomore humor. Sophomoric humor. Okay. Don't should yourself is the number one first thing to do before even setting your goal. And the reason why I say that is this. Because a lot of times what you think your goal should be and how you think you should look or you should act or you should perform or you should grow is all defined by someone else's expectations of you, not necessarily your expectations or desires for yourself.
So is it safe to say don't should yourself, but will yourself? Does that make sense?
No, I
thought I was onto something.
Will is one way, but really I'll say will, like I have, like I can't pronounce my R's because it's really real, R-E-A-L. Uh-huh. Now that's a stretch to connect those dots, I realize, but it's all I got. So don't should yourself is a total, just absolutely fundamentally the number one thing that you should do. And the reason is because if you are going to be responsible for and set yourself accountable for reaching a goal, then you really, 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 really want to do the goal in the first place, or it needs to be important to you, or it needs to be something that you're on board with or that you are in alignment with philosophically. And so before you accept said challenge of expectations of you, then you really want to make sure that it's what you want and what the real you is accepting it and what the real outcome is that you're looking for. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay, so I did a little research because, you know, I like to do a little research. Mm-hmm. And
you're thorough.
When you were talking about, this is so funny because when you were talking about me and the whiteboard and the sales training and you and setting the goals, and I mean, you can like picture the whiteboard with the arrow like going straight up to the moon. The sky's not the limit. Yeah, that was me. We collectively as a team, and I think I've mentioned this before, Russ, but I'm going to mention it again in case we have some new people listening.
We always
do. I'm a huge advocate of Stephen Covey, who wrote The 7 Habits of Highly Successful People. Uh-huh. And, you know, it's an oldie but a goodie. But, you know, so is Coca-Cola, and people are still drinking it, right?
Absolutely.
So once they made sure that they kept their formula, then it's, you know, been gangbusters ever since. So with Stephen Covey, it's the same thing. He created this amazing formula for the 7 Habits of Highly Successful People, and it really turned into a huge brand, actually. He's a testament to a concept going into product, going into execution, and then going and making a huge, big brand. But the thing that I really like about Stephen Covey is that when he talks about goals, he quotes, "Stop setting goals. Goals are pure fantasy unless you have a specific plan to achieve them."
Tracy, we just spent the last 10 some odd minutes introducing a show about goals, and you're telling me we should stop setting goals?
Well, I was not necessarily. I mean, that's not so black
goals,
and white.
Goals are a fantasy?
Yeah, see, I knew this one was going to fire you up. I know, because you are so freaking goal-oriented, and it was only a matter of time.
I've got fantasies, and they're not about goals.
Well, don't shud yourself about them. So
don't go crazy now. That yeah, I've got fantasies of winning championships in baseball and all that, but I don't fantasize.
Let me tell you something. Okay. So I'm going to stop you because here is my point in all of this.
Please.
I know that you could give me a list as long as the drive it would take from Georgia to Texas. List long of the pros of setting cons, right?
The pros of setting
the pros of setting goals. See, I'm already ready to fight you with the cons. I'm about to con you into agreeing with me.
All right, let's hear this Georgia to Florida list. Georgia to Texas.
Well,
I'm thinking Georgia to Florida line.
I know you have a list long enough to get me to Texas. What Russ said, I read a quote about stop setting goals, and Russ politely informed me that the show is on setting goals, so how can you not set goals? That, like, can't happen in your world.
Nobody would be where they are right now if they didn't set goals. You think everybody is just aimlessly ending up where they're at?
Some of them are. But without getting too confusing and everyone going, what in the world is she trying to talk about? What I'm trying to break it down to, is in that there are some positives to setting goals, and we know what they are. Mm-hmm. For example, Russ's poignant expression of you can't meet them if you don't set them.
Exactly.
And that is very true. And that is, you know.
Let's hear the Tracyism.
I'm just going to call that one, that's the direction. So goals are providing you direction. When you're setting them, they're providing you direction.
Okay.
That's a good thing.
I'll accept that.
They give you this feeling of taking control of your life and that your life is not controlled by situations, but what you want to achieve.
They give you this feeling.
Yeah,
we're getting back to fantasy now.
Well, yeah, I'm getting to that. But they do provide motivation and energy because mm-hmm. you get really geared up and you like set this goal and you're like, yeah, I can do this. So you get like the confidence and the self-assurance and you're really positive. And all these are really good things. Like, I'm not dismissing any of these at all, because a lot of times when you're setting goals, what you're ultimately trying to do is make better decisions for yourself.
So what what it sounds like you're saying is there are too many people out there that are oversetting goals. They're setting too many goals or unachievable goals. Am I following you?
Well, I think that there what it boils down to, and thank God, yes, you got me. Somebody got me. It might only be you, Russ, but somebody got me. My whole soapbox, as you can clearly tell I feel strongly about, is the fact that goals are great and you should set them absolutely. But you also need to be aware that there are some negative side effects of setting them. And if you don't take those into consideration, then you may A, never reach the outcome, or B, the outcome might not be anything like you expected. So the flip side, if you will, and what I'm trying to help people understand, is to give themselves a little bit of leeway and permission to maybe decide that, like, for example, what if you set this goal and you're halfway through it and you realize, you know what, like, I really thought that this is what I wanted to do, but now that I've done this, it's really been a great catalyst for me to do something else. Well, you don't just want to just say, but I set this goal, so I'm going to complete this one. When you've found, as a result of making a better decision, that it led you to the possibility of making an even better decision.
No, I agree. I agree with you 100%. You could set a goal for yourself, and as you are reaching toward that goal, you realize this is not really the direction I want to go in. Is that
exactly
what you're... Okay.
Yeah, because when you're... A lot of times when you're setting goals, you're setting this ideal or this sense of perfection, this whole... That's where I think the fantasy part comes in. This is where Stephen Covey and I, we get each other, is that I think that there are a lot of psychological manifestations of this fantasy...
There's fantasy again.
Yes. This fantasy of... I am going to do this, and when I do this, I am going to be ideal, perfect, people are going to love me, I'm going to be wealthy, I'm going to get promoted, I'm going to be the best mom, friend, dad, employee, business owner there is. Mm-hmm. And the reality of the situation is there is no ideal perfection, first of all. That is fantasy.
Yes.
And the real little twist on that is that there are studies that show that they set you up for actually going the whole opposite way.
Can I put you on the spot?
Towards failure.
Can I put you on the spot?
Well, what would be new about that?
can you give me, because it sounds like you're speaking things that make sense, but you're speaking from experience. Is it possible that you can give us a hardcore example?
Okay, I'm gonna give you a couple.
Okay.
And they're going to come out of my mouth.
This will help me out a little more.
They're going to be very spontaneous.
God.
Because I'm on the spot. Okay, so I'm going to go with the universal weight loss one. I'm going to go with that one.
Okay.
Because I think men, women alike can really identify with this whole idea of this perfect body, this perfect figure. And if I'm this weight, I'll be perceived this way, and if I'm this weight, then people won't like me, or they'll judge me by first impressions, or I really need to lose weight to be healthy, but oh my gosh, it's so much to lose. Like, I can't set a goal of losing 100 pounds, because how in the world can one person lose 100 pounds? And then all of a sudden, this whole ideal becomes very polarizing. So you're like, if I'm at 100% and I can't lose 100 pounds, then I'm just not going to do anything. And so
it's all or
then
nothing.
I'm a failure.
I got you.
Yeah, it's all or nothing. And a lot of times, the reality is, and I'm just going to go out on a ledge and say all the time, the reality is that you can lose 100 pounds, you can lose 10 pounds, you can lose 50 pounds. But you really, really, really need to do two things. And one is, you need to identify the why first. See where I'm going with this? So you need to understand why you, Y-O-U, want to lose the amount of weight that you've signified to be important to you. Not why you want to lose the weight because you've seen in the magazines that Gwyneth Paltrow has this new training program and, oh my gosh, she looks fantastic, or I'm the same age as Madonna, how come I don't look like that? That might be my real life thing.
Listen, anyway. First of all, if you lost 100 pounds, you'd fly away.
No, but I'm telling you, Madonna has got it going on in no other way.
But you know what?
But I'm sure her body.
I'm sure she's got some other problems.
Oh, yes. I would say many. However, this is me buying into the same thing when I'm trying to tell you not to buy into it.
Exactly.
It's so easy. It's such a slippery slope.
No, you've got it. You nailed it. It's I want to reach this goal, but you have to ask yourself, what is the reason you want to reach this goal? Do you want to reach the goal because you want to look like Madonna, or do you want to reach the goal because you want to be healthier and live an extra 10, 20 years?
Right. And you've just given birth to a set of twins, and you also have a 4-year-old, and you need to lose that baby weight because you got to carry a bunch of kids around.
Exactly.
And you're out of breath. And now clearly that's not my real life example, but I'm borrowing that one. And the thing about it is that, so that's one. And
all right, give us another one. So we can keep in time.
So the second one that is so important is that you cannot underestimate the duration that is needed to complete the tasks that are going to get you to the goal. And that's where the scientific research comes in. There's actually an actual research document around what's called the planning fallacy. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
I've never heard of it, but I live it every single day. And what I mean by that is that I always think it's going to take less time to achieve what I want to do in a day. And I get to the end of the day and I haven't achieved it. And then guess what happens? I beat myself up because I didn't get everything done.
You and my wife are one and the same.
And you know, the other thing too is like this whole, this happens in my consulting business all the time. You notice I ignored that, Elaine. this happens in my consulting business all the time. And what happens is this. So we are working together. You have your idea for personal change or professional change. And we sit down and we talk about it. We identify the why. The why is super clear. You're ready to go. And so then you are going to, the next thing that we're going to work on is your timeline. And without fail, I will ask first, let's go ahead and create your timeline for how long you think this is going to take and all the tasks that you need to accomplish the goal. So you're really kind of getting what you need to do and how long it's going to take you. And I will guess 99% of the people, when they come back for their next session, that they have a year's worth of tasks that they want to and completely believe that they can fit into a 3-month period of time. And I am not exaggerating.
So you can relate to them.
Yes, I can relate to them, but I also have empathy for them because that is a tough thing to get out of your mind of how long it takes people to actually really engage in change.
Well, and on top of that, we also live in a day and age of technology and bosses that we have to deal with that put so much on. There's so much pressure that comes from the workplace, home, things you need to take care of to maintain, and it's just we're human, and it's just too much. And that I think has a lot to do with the day and age that we live in.
It does. And whether you're somebody's manager or whether you're someone's parent or whether you're, I mean, I got to tell you, my husband and I have had this conversation in that he has a few expectations of how long it should take for a certain goal that we have in mind, i.e., financial planning.
Now,
he's what I call a reformed financial advisor because he doesn't do it anymore, but he still acts like one at home.
Now, aren't those expectations realistic, though?
Okay.
Come on.
All right. You know what? You just brought me to my third one, and you didn't even know you were doing it. So my third one about the slippery slope, the risks of goal setting and being hard on yourself in association with it, is there are forces beyond your control. You could set out to have...
Like a husband?
Well, absolutely. Uh-huh. However, what I meant was forces of nature. You have a hurricane and a tree falls through your roof.
Okay.
Insurance doesn't cover it. So therefore, you can't put in savings that month the amount that you had allocated because you must get the tree out of your roof.
But don't
I'm
you...
I'm talking about forces
but
of nature.
But don't you and let's say my wife have forces of nature every day that keep you from reaching your goals?
Okay, I think what you're referring to is compulsive shopping, and I would just like to say from my own defense, I am in recovery for that, and I no longer do compulsive shopping. What I am talking about are things like you have to go and you need to replace your dishwasher because
all of a sudden
it just stops working, and your kids, I'm not saying your kids, but you've assigned your kids the chore to hand wash the dishes, and the next time you go to serve a plate, when your friend comes over, it's not so clean.
No.
So you've had enough. I'm going to get that dishwasher today. You haven't bought one in 15 years, so you think they're about $100 and you get there and they're not.
Okay.
So that is an uncontrollable force that then deviates you from the goal that you have.
So I want
to
know
save money
what conversation did you have with my wife, because we've been hand washing dishes since 2010 and we have got a dishwasher that hasn't been turned on since then.
Okay, you know what? That is so out of, like, that's over my pay grade. I can't even go there because my goal would never be that. My goal would be put it in the dishwasher as fast as you can and hit on. And I would reach that goal in a perfect timeline with one task, push.
All right, I got to get a dishwasher.
All righty. So now you see where I'm going with
this. I do.
And when this research was done, they surveyed people and their timelines, and 95% of the people that were surveyed took between 18 and 24 days. Now, the sample size, I think, was around 30, 35 people. So we're looking at a sample size of about 35 people. And 95% of that group took from 18 to 254 days to reach their optimum situation or their goal, or just to actually see and change. In change, like long-term change, sustainable change. And so think if you were that person, that person that you want to have empathy for that's on day 253. But you know what? It would take me 253 days at least to probably lose 10 pounds. So people who are setting those larger goals and they're losing them in shorter amounts of time, go you, because that's the whole thing. It's like That's their why. So they are passionate about doing it. But if you don't take into consideration how long it takes, then you might get really frustrated and give up and go the other way and gain the 10 pounds.
All right.
That might be a personal story too.
No, I can see your perception now on goals. Now, when we come back, I'm going to close out the show. I've got another way to define SMART, and we're also going to check in with Tracy's takeaways that's coming up after this.
Is the only thing keeping you from launching your podcast not knowing how? Let our award-winning team of veteran broadcasters relieve the overwhelm of launching, managing, and growing your show. You create the content and let the experts take the stress out of the rest. Contact us at produceyourpodcast.com for a free 15-minute consultation. produceyourpodcast.com.
Take your business personally. Journey to There.
And we're back with the Journey to There radio show. We're talking about goals, goals that Tracy thinks are somewhat of a fantasy, but she kind of cleared that up for me.
Okay, no. Tracy believes in setting goals. She just believes in setting realistic goals that you can attain so that you feel good about yourself.
And
How succinct is that?
And she's going to be even more succinct with her Tracy's takeaways. What you got?
Oh my goodness, did you just put a big thing of bubblegum in your mouth? Okay, so before we get to my takeaways, I just want to put a shameless plug out there. So we were, right before the break, we were talking about the time it takes to make a change and the time it takes to make realistic change. And I'm a huge advocate about the subject. I bring it up a lot in several different topics. And the reason I do that is because our life is always constantly changing, and how we embrace change is how we get to goals or how we improve our relationships in every area of our life. So I created this 4-week, it's not a workshop, it's just like a little, I mean, you've seen it, Russ. Mm-hmm. It's a 4-week series that you get an email every week, and it's all about my process of what I use with my clients to walk them through the process of change. So you heard a little bit about it earlier on the show, but you can get it for free. This is how much I really am passionate about this.
This is Tracy paying it forward.
Yes. And so it's journeytothere.com/
Who's got the gum in her mouth now?
I know, right? I'm going to pop a bubble in a minute. www.journeytothere.com/change. Okay. Takeaway.
Tracy's takeaways.
All right. We have beat up the don't should yourself and the giving yourself permission to amend your goals. So I'm just going to restate those two sentences. And then I'm going to say, instead of focusing so much on the result of your goal, switch your mindset into achieving the goal by making it a ritual. You know, so think about, like, you learn to brush your teeth when you're little, you learn to tie your shoes when you're little. Those things are ingrained in you as a ritual. Things, if you go running, you might run the same route or listen to the same playlist over time. So that becomes a ritual.
Right.
Before games, things that happen to motivate the team is a ritual. So start thinking about your goal and how you can integrate that change into your life so it's a ritual, so it becomes more of like a habit, and that is going to give you a greater chance of success. And then one last really interesting, just to throw the curveball way in, is don't set your bar too low. So we've been talking a lot about high achievements.
Yeah, setting high bars.
And high goals and not being able to reach them, but the same goes for setting them too low, because then that's reflecting that maybe you don't have as much confidence or self-assurance as you should in yourself.
Right.
And that's the only time it's appropriate to use that word. So make sure you're setting the bar in a place that is more than you can achieve, and believe in yourself that you can achieve it.
I like it. It's good. It's good. I'll take it. All right.
You're not very convincing over there, but I'm going with it, and it's my show. Well, so.
we had a little bit of friction this show, and I disagree with you on the smart, S-M-A-R-T. It's, you ready? So much audience respects Tracy.
Aww.
Along with Tracy DeForge, I'm Russ Reba.
That's so sweet.
Leave us a comment.
I was punching you all during the show, and now you do something nice like that.
Now I'm going to make you feel guilty. Leave us a comment regarding today's show. Log on right now, journeytothere.com. Listen to the past episodes. We're also on iHeartRadio, iTunes, Stitcher, and many other platforms. And we hope you make a smart goal to join us for the next episode right here at the intersection between personal and business growth. This is the Journey to There radio show.
We hope you've enjoyed today's journey, and we invite you to visit journeytothere.com to download full episodes, find show notes, and connect with us by signing up for our newsletter. We want to hear from you. Give us feedback or ask any questions by clicking or tapping Contact Us. That's journeytothere.com.